Psalm 84 and verse 5. There we read, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them." It is not surprising that when we come to a psalm which deals primarily with the joys of being in the Lord's house, that we should find there once again the blessed man. Indeed, he is referred to no less than 3 times in this great Psalm 84. He's mentioned in verse 4, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house." He's mentioned in verse 5, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee." And again, he's mentioned in verse 12, "O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." As we've already pointed out, this psalm written to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of or for the sons of Korah. Gittith is an unusual word, and the word refers to a musical instrument which came from Gath. Indeed, that's what the word means, from or off Gath. David, of course, you recall, when he fled from Saul, went away into Gath, 1 Samuel 21, verse 10. And perhaps while he was there, he discovered this musical instrument and then used it to accompany himself in the singing of his psalms. There are 3 psalms that has the name or the word Gittith in their title. Psalm 8, Psalm 81, and again, the psalm before is 84. You'll notice also that it is a psalm for or of the sons of Korah. There are 12 psalms dedicated to the sons of Korah. Now, who were the sons of Korah? I'd like you to turn, please, to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 6. And here is David organizing the service of worship in the sanctuary. We're here in 1 Chronicles chapter 6, and as you can see, it's a chapter that has a list of names. And as often is the case when we come to a chapter like this, we tend to skip over it. After all, we say it's only a chapter of names. But let us not skip over this chapter tonight, but rather look at verse 22. There we read, "The sons of Kohath, Aminadab, his son, Korah, his son, Asur, his son." Verse 23, "Elkanah, his son, and Abiasaph, his son, and Asur, his son." Why are the names of the sons of Korah mentioned here at all? Well, let's go down the chapter to verse 31. Verse 31 we read, "And these are they whom David set over the service of song." in the house of the Lord after that the ark had rested. And they ministered before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the congregation with singing, until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. Then they waited on their office according to their order. So we see that the sons of Korah had been appointed by David to oversee and to lead the singing in the house of the Lord. And so there were singers amongst the sons of Korah. But that was not the only thing which they did with regard to the service in the sanctuary. Go over, please, to 1 Chronicles 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 9. And there we read in verse 19, "And Shallum, the son of Korah, the son of Abiasaph," again one of the names we met with in the chapter 6, "the son of Korah, and his brethren." So here you have all the sons of Korah mentioned, "of the house of his father, the Korahites, were over the work of the service, keepers of the gates of the tabernacle, and their fathers, being over the host of the Lord, were keepers of the entry." Now we have learned something about the sons of Korah. They led in the singing in the worship service. The sons of Korah were also in charge of the gates or the doors into the tabernacle. And so they played a very important role with regard to the worship of the Lord. Now we come back to Psalm 84 again. And we look there at verse 10. Remember what the sons of Korah were and what their duty was. We're told in verse 10, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand." These words would come from the lips of the sons of Korah. They were involved in the worship service. They were involved in the singing, leading the singing and the praise of God. They were also involved in watching at the gates of the temple or the tabernacle. They were doorkeepers. And what does the rest of verse 10 say? "I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." So you could say this was the testimony of the sons of Korah. We can see now why this psalm was dedicated to the sons of Korah. They were involved, heavily involved, in the work of the Lord and the service of the Lord in the temple. And their testimony was they would rather be a doorkeeper. That's what they were. They would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. My, all who love the house of the Lord could surely say amen to those words. We would rather be doorkeepers in God's house than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. We see here that the sons of Korah shared the same love for God's house as the blessed man. Look at verse 4. "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house." Isn't it a pity that more people didn't realize and see the blessing that there is in dwelling in the house of God, in being in the Lord's house on the Lord's day? "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. It says they will be still praising thee, still praising thee. Even after they've left the house of the Lord, they'll still be praising the Lord. You see the joy, the blessedness that God's people gain from being in the house of God is a lasting joy. We will still be praising the Lord after this Sabbath is over, because we've been in God's house today. The joy that the world has is short-lived, but the joy that God's people have is a lasting joy. And it was a joy to God's people here in this psalm to be in the Lord's house. They're blessed, blessed. But then I remember the words of Dr. Andrew Bonner. Andrew Bonner said about those who love the Lord's house, he said, I quote, "They love the place because they love the person." That's why we love the Lord's house. It is because we love the person. It's meeting the thought, the prospect of meeting with the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, that draws us to the Lord's house. We're just thinking there in our prayer meeting before the service. My, if we were invited to Buckingham Palace to meet Queen Elizabeth, we would be counting down the days till we get on the plane and fly over to London and go through St. James's Park and go up to the front gates of Buckingham Palace. Why? We're going to meet the Queen. But who are we meeting with tonight? We're meeting with the King, and not just any King. Not just some earthly king. We're meeting with the King of Kings. We're meeting with the King of all other kings. All earthly kings must bow to King Jesus. What a prospect this is. And every Sabbath as it comes around, my, do we not say with the psalmist, "I joyed when to the house of God go up they said to me." Why? Because we're going to meet with the King. I don't know about you, but as soon as one Sabbath has closed, I'm personally looking forward to the next Sabbath day, to being once more in the Lord's house. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. That's where the blessed man was. Not surprising, we find him there. For the next verse, verse 5 says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee." The person that we come up into the house of the Lord to meet with, of course, is the Lord himself. Psalmist begins, "Hi, amiable." The word amiable there means beloved. It's a very strong word. It's a word that a father may use to describe his love for his children. It's a word that a husband may use to describe his love for his wife. That's the word the psalmist uses here. He's saying, "Hi, amiable, oh how I love. I love the house of God as I love my children. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." There you see the words of Bonner brought into focus. They love the place because they love the person. And the psalmist loved the place because he loved the person. Said, "My soul longeth, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." His soul, his heart, flesh. His whole being, as it were, cried out for the Lord. I wonder, believer, have we ever experienced such a crying out like this? A longing to meet with God in this fashion. And the psalmist here, speaking about his love for the tabernacles of the Lord, for the house of God, longed after the Lord, and we see here that he had an intimate knowledge of the Lord. His knowledge of the Lord was deep. Look at the titles he has given to the Lord. There in verse 1, he calls him the Lord of hosts. So the psalmist knew the Lord as the Lord of hosts. Then in verse 2, he knew him as the Lord. He knew him as the living God. Verse 3, he calls him my King and my God. And then in verse 8, he says, the Lord God of hosts, the God of Jacob. Verse 9, he calls him our God, O God, our shield. How well this worshipper knew the Lord. That's the only way you can get to know the Lord, by being in God's house, sitting under the Word and meeting each time with the Lord Himself. No wonder the psalmist here was blessed. For the Lord was his trust, verse 12. The Lord was his son. The Lord was his shield, in verse 11. The Lord was the one whom he confided in and prayed to, verse 8. And he had the ways of the Lord in his heart, verse 5. And then he says, the Lord is my son. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Those are the words we want to take tonight. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. The one who draws strength from the Lord is blessed indeed. Look at the blessed man. First of all, the blessed man and God's strength. Blessed man that placed his trust in the Lord of hosts. We've noted that in verse 12. Therefore, God's strength was his strength. God's power was his power. God's might was his might. And so all who know the blessedness of transgressions having been forgiven, all who know the blessedness of having our sins covered, we also can know the blessedness of having God's strength. What did Paul say in Ephesians chapter 3 and there in verse 20? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power. What power? God's power. Or strength. According to the power that worketh in us. We're not going to receive much if it depends upon our strength or our power. But God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to His power, and His power that is in us. And dear child of God, we can draw from this power. We can be partakers of this power and this strength. And that's why the psalmist said, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. When we think of this strength, this divine strength and power, it is unequaled strength. Since this is the strength of God that the psalmist is speaking about, There is no strength or power to equal it. As the psalmist said to the Lord, Psalm 89, verse 13, Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Thou hast a mighty arm. God has a mighty arm, and strong is his hand. And the Lord has an arm that is strong to deliver. Whenever the Lord, you can read this as you read through the Old Testament in particular, when the Lord wanted to remind Israel of his strength and of his power, he inevitably turned their thoughts back to Egypt. He inevitably how he delivered them out of Egypt. I'd like you to turn to Exodus 13. Exodus chapter 13. And notice here how the emphasis is placed on the strength and on the power of God. Exodus 13, verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day, that is, have just been delivered out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. And Moses said, Remember this day, in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. Look at verse 9 of the same chapter, the end of the verse. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Look at verse 14, the end of the verse again. By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. Look at verse 16. The end of the verse. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And so there is no doubt that it was the hand of God. Moses was a mighty man, one of the greatest men of God who ever lived. But it wasn't the hand of Moses that delivered Israel. It was the hand of God. The unequal power and strength that is in the hand of God. That's what delivered Israel. For none but God alone, by his mighty strength, could have held back the waters of the Red Sea. None but the mighty, unequaled power and strength of the hand of God could have brought 2 million children of Israel out of Egypt, over the Red Sea, and led them safe on the other side. Only the mighty hand of God could have done that. Even as we read in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 10, Whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. There's the delivering power, or the delivering strength of God. And dear Christian, that same strength was used and put forth in our salvation. God saved Israel by his strength. And God saved us out of the house of bondage, exercising the same strength and power. We know that from the words of the Lord Jesus. You turn to Luke chapter 11. And there in Luke 11, the Lord is delivering a parable to his hearers. Verse 20. You recall these words in our study of the Lord's parables. Verse 20. But if I, the Lord is saying, with the finger of God cast out devils, that's all he needed. the finger of God. No doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Verse 21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. The strong man armed is the devil. And he keepeth his palace, that's the soul of man. His goods are in peace. That's the false peace that the devil gives. The sinner thinks all is well. The sinner is never troubled. Go to bed at night and lie down upon the pillow and sleep soundly, never thinking that just beneath their feet burns an eternal hell. Yet the devil gives the sinner a peace. It's a false peace. But then we read about a strong man armed, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But then verse 22 says, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth and divideth his spoils. The one who is stronger than he is the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Yes, the devil is strong. The devil is powerful. But our God and our Lord is more powerful, is stronger still, for his power is unequaled. And believer, that's the power that is at our disposal tonight. That's the power, that's the strength that we can draw from tonight. So we might say with the hymn writer, when Israel out of bondage came, a sea before them lay, the Lord reached down his mighty hand and rolled the sea away. Just remember that. When you're faced with a flood tide of trouble and problems that you cannot solve, just remember what the Lord did for Israel. Blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord. It is not only an arm that is strong to deliver, it is an arm that is strong to defeat. There is not a power on earth, there's not a force in hell that has the ability to conquer our God. The one in whom we have placed our trust is the all-conquering Savior. Our dear Savior has been in many a battle, but he has this wonderful testimony. He has never known defeat. Never known defeat. He is the Almighty God. Therefore, dear child of God, no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. It cannot prosper while our strength is in the Lord. His strong arm shall defeat all his and our enemies. Every enemy of God, every enemy of his church, will of course have the backing of hell and the power of the underworld. But even with all that power, our God will still be triumphant. Why? Because his strength and his power is unequaled. Look at Psalm 89. Just over a few pages, Psalm 89. Verse 8. The Lord God of hosts. You see, he's the Lord God of all the hosts of heaven. He's the commander in chief, as it were, of all of heaven's hosts. The Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab, and Rahab here is just another name for Egypt. Thou hast broken Egypt in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. You look in your Bible margin, thy strong arm may be rendered with the arm of thy strength. There it is again. God's power is unequaled. Believer, that's the power we have tonight. That's our power. That's the strength which is ours tonight. You'll notice that this unequal, not only is this unequal strength, it is unfailing strength. No man who has placed his trust in the Lord of hosts and sought strength from the Lord of hosts, no man has ever been disappointed. No man has ever put his trust and his faith and his weight, as it were, in the strength of God and have that strength fail him. If the Lord's might never fails, it never fades, it never fails, and it never falters. Such is the strength of God. His strength shall not fail in the midst of the battle. His strength will not fade during a long conflict. His strength will not falter, no matter how great the enemy. That strength given to David did not fail when he faced Goliath. That strength that he gave to Samson when he faced 1,000 Philistines, that strength did not fail. It endured until Samson had slain 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. It's unfailing strength. That strength given to Elijah when he stood before Ahab did not fail him. As we mentioned this morning, he stood before Ahab and rebuked Ahab and told Ahab about the judgment that was coming upon the land. He says, I stand before the Lord God of Israel. He was God's lone champion. And he stood for the Lord there. That strength given to Paul during the hours of his shipwreck, during his days of imprisonment, during his merciless beatings did not fail him. God gave him strength. During those days of shipwreck, during those hours of merciless beatings, God strengthened his servant. God strengthened the apostle. And that strength did not fail Paul. And believer, when we rest in that strength, that strength will not fail us either. God's strength was Paul's portion. God's strength was Elijah's portion. God's strength was Samson's portion. God's strength was David's portion. And God's strength is our portion. It'll neither fail, nor fade, nor falter. Believer, when we need strength, and oh, how we need it at times. When we need strength to face the trials of life. When we need strength to carry the burdens of life. That strength will not fail us.
for it is the unequaled, unfailing strength of God. Even as David said in Psalm 28, verse 7, he said, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him." Now mark the words. "My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped." And so the psalmist is saying, "The strength of the Lord helped me. It didn't fail me, it helped me." The strength of the Lord carried me through. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. So there you have the blessed man and God's strength. Secondly, we have the blessed man and his given strength. If the psalmist here says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee," that is in the Lord, then what of the man who doesn't draw his strength from the Lord? He just labors on as best he can. He just soldiers on, resting in his own strength. We've all tried that at some time or another. And we couldn't very well say we were blessed, because we know, we have proven it to be true, the arm of flesh will always fail, but the mighty arm of God will never fail. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. And often we have tried to soldier on in our own strength, but it has always failed. Therefore, that tells us that strength is required. Strength is required. Believer, let me ask you, how often have you lamented your weakness? When it comes to some areas of our Christian life and experience, how often have we lamented our weakness? We more often lament our weakness than we do rejoice in our strength. What about the weakness of our faith? Have we not lamented the times how little faith we have? My, we can almost at times hear the Lord's words rebuking us and saying, "O ye of little faith," little, weak faith. How we wished we had more faith. How we wished our faith was stronger than it is. Why would we not be strong and do exploits? What would we do if we had stronger faith? Would we not ask for greater things? Would we not lay hold on God and claim more for God if our faith was stronger? But instead, our faith is weak. So what do we need? We need our faith strengthened. Where do we get that strength? Why, we get it from God. What about the weakness with regard to our stand for Christ? We look back and we think of those times when we should have, could have been bolder for the Lord, more courageous. Instead, we're weak, timid. When we should have spoken up, we were silent.
strength is what we need. We need that strength. We need that power that was already spoken about. My, if we had God's strength, if we relied more on the strength and on the power of God, then no longer would the fear of man be a snare to us. What about another area of our Christian life? Do we not wish betimes that we had stronger convictions about the things of God? Do we not feel at times we should be we should have stronger convictions about our separation from the world? About keeping holy the Sabbath day? About a host of other things? Do we not wish we had stronger convictions about these things? Oh, we have convictions, all right, but how far do they take us? In our separation? In our keeping holy the Sabbath day? Because of our weakness, have we not let our standard slip? We've given in a little here, we've given in a little there. We've lowered the standard, we've lowered the banner. And my, when we look at the lives and read the lives of, just as we're doing at the moment, the life of John the Baptist. My, there was a man with strong convictions. And note that this morning, how he rebuked Herod for his sin. It was a man with conviction. And you look at John the Baptist, you look at Paul, a man with strong convictions. You read the epistle of Jude, the epistles of John. You say these were men with strong convictions. In more recent times, you read the life of Robert Murray McShane. Just reading about him today. Why does your soul good reading about McShane? This was written by one of his elders, talking about McShane, his experiences with him. Man who died in his 30th year. We mentioned this morning about the legacy John the Baptist left. My, look at the legacy that Robert Murray McShane has left. McShane was a man with strong conviction. You look at these men and McShane's companions, men since then, you say, boy, how I wish I was like them. Well, we can be. The Lord gave them strength. In almost every area of our Christian life, what do? We look around and we see our weaknesses. We see that weakness in maintaining a regular reading of God's Word and study of the book. We see that weakness in regularly examining our hearts before the Lord. And yet here we see in this psalm, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. We lament our weakness. My, if we were strong, if we had the strength of the Lord, we'd be the blessed man. We would be the blessed man of the Psalms. And be able to say, I'm blessed. I'm the blessed man because my strength is in the Lord. And so strength is required. Next, strength is requested. What was it that James said? James 4, verse 2. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. You have no strength because you haven't asked for it. Asking for strength in our times of weakness. Why, it seems the most natural thing to do. Yet James says ye have not because you ask not. What did the Lord say? John 14, verse 14, he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Anything. If you ask for strength, I will give it to you. If you ask me to strengthen you, I will do it. You see, dear child of God, we can ask for strength and the Lord will give it to us because it is ours. It is rightfully ours through Jesus Christ. For when Jesus Christ died for us at Calvary, he bought for us our salvation. And he purchased for us everything that is in God. And everything that is in God is ours. And that includes his strength. This strength comes to us through prayer. David said in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Indeed, God will strengthen us while we pray. For has he not said, how often have we quoted those words? Isaiah 40 and verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Even as we pray, the Lord is giving us his strength. We've already mentioned Samson. Of course, know what happened to Samson, how he backslid. He lost his strength and he lost his power with God. But there as he stood in the temple of the Philistine god Dagon, he stood there, a blind man between two pillars. Samson began to pray. And we read, and Samson called upon the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once. Only this once. This was Samson's last prayer. And such was the strength he received that we read, the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. See? Believer, the Lord will give you the strength that you need. Ask for strength and he will strengthen your faith. He will strengthen your convictions. He will strengthen you in your stand. If only to ask, and he'll give. It is strength that is required, it is strength that is requested, and it is strength that is received. You see, if we ask for strength, the Lord will give it, because he has said that in this verse, in this Psalm, Psalm 84, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. And my is the strength of the Lord, not a good thing. And yet he says he will not withhold it. Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. David experienced the strength of God, for he testified, saying in Psalm 138, verse 3, in the day, mark the words, in the day when I cried, thou answeredest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. It's like grace. The Lord gives the grace to meet the hour. The Lord gives the strength to meet the need of the hour. And David said, in the day when I called, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me. The very day he called. We've seen that in Samson, in the palace of Dagon. In Psalm 46, How often have we heard these words read at a funeral service? Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. See, he gives the strength and the help in the hour of trouble. Paul experienced that strength, for he said in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10, there he says, when I am weak, then am I strong. Now he's weak. So where does the strength come from? It comes from the Lord. Paul was that blessed man whose strength is in the Lord. And finally and quickly, we have the blessed man and his gladness in strength. Let us remember what the word blessed means. Blessed is the man. The words may be rendered, oh, how happy. Oh, how blessed is the man. And when we labor and toil in our own strength, there's not much blessedness and there's not much happiness. But blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Blessedness comes when we rely upon the Lord. For we will not fail when we make the Lord our strength. Therefore, the blessed man, first of all, recognizes the strength of the Lord. Moses was given the task of leading children of Israel out of Egypt. You remember at the burning bush when the Lord called Moses? Moses said, the first thing he said, who am I? That I should go on to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Who am I? I am only a humble shepherd here. How can I do that? I'm weak. And he went on to make a lot of excuses. But then when they crossed over and the Lord had given deliverance, we read then, sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. See, he recognized that this great deliverance was wrought by God. And he started to sing. I'm sure there have been those times when we have felt like singing. Maybe we have sung. When we recognize that the Lord has given us His strength and He has seen us through. Have we never been ready to sing? Because He has given us strength to do a task that we thought we could never do. Have we never bowed before Him in humble adoration to thank Him for giving us that needed strength to bear up under burdens that we thought we could never carry? Have we ever given thanks to the Lord for the strength He gave us that time we had to pass through the valley of tears? Oh, how the Lord strengthened us then. Have we never gone to the throne of grace after some great trial, some great test of our faith, and told the Lord, Lord, I never could have made it without Thee? Sure we have. Because we recognize we couldn't make it without the Lord. He gave us the strength. Blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee. You recognize the strength of the Lord, and you rejoice in the strength of the Lord. Psalm 21, verse 1. David said, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice." The king shall joy in thy strength. That's how the psalm begins. Psalm 21. This is how the Psalm 21 ends. "Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power." First and last, the psalmist acknowledges and gives thanks to God for his strength and his power. And in another place he bursts into song, Psalm 59, verse 17, "Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy." And believer, when we rejoice in the strength of God, God gives us more strength. Because what did Nehemiah say? Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." So the more we rejoice in him, the more strength he will give us. Oh, how blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear loving and our eternal Father, we praise thee for this wonderful psalm. Thank thee for this psalm about the blessed man in the house of God. Blessed are all they that dwell in thy house. O Lord, we bless thee for being one of our number today. And, O Lord, we pray that we might be like those that are spoken of in the psalm. "Blessed are all they that dwell in thy house, for they shall still be praising thee." And, Lord, long after we've left the house of the Lord, may we still be praising thee. Write this word upon our hearts. May we take it home with us in our hearts. Meditate upon it. And, O Lord, when the burdens come, the storms of life assail us, may we remember that the Lord has an arm that is mighty to save. That the Lord reached down and he rolled the sea away. Lord, be with us now as we leave this meeting house. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.